The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From WABE News in Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris. It's The Brief for Wednesday, October the 6th, 2021. The head of Atlanta Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says this coming flu season could be a rough one. Sam Whitehead reports Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the lack of flu infections since early last year could make Americans vulnerable to the virus in the coming months.
Dr. Walensky says there's not been much flu activity in the country since March of 2020. Public health measures meant to slow the spread of COVID-19 also kept influenza from spreading.
CDC's flu experts are concerned that reduced population-level immunity to the seasonal flu could place us at risk for a potentially severe flu season this year.
Walensky says a bad flu season could strain healthcare systems that have already been battered by wave after wave of COVID-19 patients. She's encouraging Americans to get a flu shot and says it's safe to do so at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. Sam Whitehead, WABE News.
Atlanta mayoral candidates recognized affordable housing as one of the biggest issues facing the city, next to crime. In a forum today, most called for the city to simply act on its current policies. Stephanie Stokes has more.
The forum covered gentrification, homelessness, and zoning. Councilmember Andre Dickens said the city has a plan to follow from the public-private group House ATL.
The new thing is doing the old thing fully. Just do what we said we'd do.
That could include providing more property tax relief for vulnerable residents and hiring another chief housing officer. Former Mayor Kasim Reed pointed to work he started during his term.
If you want to know what someone will do, you look at what they have done.
He said under his watch, the city won a $30 million grant from HUD for Westside neighborhoods, and Atlanta still needs to put that money to use. Other candidates included Sharon Gay, Councilmember Antonio Brown, and Council President Felicia Moore. Stephanie Stokes, WABE News.
The effort for Buckhead to break away from Atlanta to form its own city has a controversial new supporter, Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Lisa Hagan explains.
Greene posted a photo of herself on Twitter Tuesday night, smiling alongside the Buckhead City Committee's CEO and chair, Bill White. The Congresswoman is known for her staunch support of former President Donald Trump, as well as her documented belief in the QAnon conspiracy theory. She wrote that she was proud of her good friend White's mission to form a separate city shortly after an opinion column from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution highlighted White's support for the Stop the Steal movement contesting the 2020 election results. White is a New York City transplant who threw a $5 million fundraiser for Trump's re-election campaign. White says the Buckhead cityhood effort is nonpartisan. Lisa Hagan, WABE News.
When the pandemic hit, the Georgia Department of Labor went into overdrive. It continues to face criticism for how it's handled unprecedented numbers of unemployment insurance claims. Mark Butler, a Republican, is the department's commissioner. He says almost overnight, his employees saw their workload explode exponentially. In March of 2020, Butler asked and got permission to buy his workers lunch, partly for safety, partly for efficiency, he says. An Atlanta Journal-Constitution report shows the practice went on, though, for some 15 months at a cost of more than $1.1 million. When the commissioner and I spoke earlier this afternoon about it, I began by asking if it's true that his department spent more than $1 million on those employee lunches.
Well, yes, it did. But it didn't happen until we first received guidance from DOAS, which is over that We asked them because we had a plan, and we informed them at the very beginning. We told them, said, look, we want to be able to keep people in the office all day, not let them leave, so we can reduce the chances of them bringing the virus back into the building. Also, to get them to work through lunch. During the governor's emergency declaration, would it be allowable under those circumstances if, you know, we could purchase lunch? And they came back and they told us that we could and gave us the guidelines, which we followed, with a few exceptions that happened through human error.
And so you say this is money well spent. Taxpayers got more than they put in by providing these lunches.
There's no doubt they did. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it. I mean, you're talking, first of all, let's back up just a minute.
Sure.
Besides the practical part, where you're talking about, did they get something for the money? Absolutely, because we got more hours out of the day of work. But when you're talking about the safety and welfare of your employees, what is that worth? You know, I think, you know, all this stuff has come about, it just is kind of silly and it's nitpicky, and it's being done by people who were not actually doing anything during, you know, this crisis, whereas our folks have sacrificed, have gotten sick, and some have died. And they're nitpicking us over us trying to help out, keep people safe over very inexpensive, you know, box lunches in order to help mitigate some of that, which, by the way, we got permission to do in the very beginning.
It sounds to me like you're insinuating, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that this may be political.
I don't really know what it is. It's kind of caught us by surprise. You know, get permission from one agency. And I think, I don't know if you're talking about the audit right now, or if you're talking about the OIG report. The OIG report is probably the most perplexing of the two. The actual audit, all it really said was there was a few areas where we had some mistakes and gave us some advice on how to correct those in the future. Whereas the OIG report, which I think people are focusing on, is a big mystery because nobody from the OIG's office has actually interviewed anybody over here at the Department of Labor.
How can you be sure that they didn't speak to any employee?
Because we've asked, and we've had people that, you know, we've spread around. They're like, nobody's ever talked to me from them. And so his report is basically his opinion based on his assumptions of what he thought was going on, not without any actual investigation. So I think when you call that one an investigation, you're probably being extremely generous, because if you're going to investigate somebody and look at and try to find the facts, and do a legitimate investigation, you probably might want to talk to the persons that you are investigating.
Can you understand the optics at play here?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on your opinion. I mean, you know, you're talking about frontline personnel that we are trying to keep safe to bring a massive benefit to the state of Georgia and to the people that need it the most. And so the optics are not really my concern. It's more concerned the fact that we know we did the right thing. You know, if one person didn't get COVID and didn't die from this, I think it's probably, you know, we did the right thing. You know, can you put a price on that? Maybe, you know, instead of everybody, you know, throwing rocks and, you know, and quite frankly, acting like they're jealous that we did this. I don't want you jealous over these types of lunches. You're not talking luxury lunches here. Okay. I mean, everybody's acting like everybody was, you know, kicking back with their feet on the desk and, you know, having Mai Tais. That's not what's going on. And so really the problem is how people want to spin things for their, you know, political objectives to make it look like what they want you to see instead of what's actually going on.
I want to interject and just for clarification here, because earlier you said you wouldn't speculate as to the motives or whether this was political, but you just did say that there are political undertones here.
Based on some of the comments that I've seen people make, you know, they're outraged. I mean, well, I'm outraged that, you know, that we have gotten very little help from other state agencies, with the exception of the State Patrol, who've been very helpful to us. If you're talking about the fact that our actions, by minimizing people's contact with the outside world and minimizing bringing COVID inside our different offices around the state, save lives, I just want somebody to come to me and tell me what that equates to in money. Because I'd like to know. I can't put a price on it. Why don't you talk to the 9 families that lost loved ones out of our agency and see what they think it's worth.
Mark Butler is the Labor Commissioner for the state of Georgia.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And Republicans in the state Senate this afternoon say they want immediate answers from Butler about the spending. Butler says he's ready to present his side. And that's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Christopher Alston produced today's program. Kathleen Quillian is our editor. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.